Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with Martin Kilcoyne. Let's check in with the commish. He joins us every week. Commish, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Very good. Right off the bat, who did win the NCAA betting pool?
Well, this is for amusement only.
Yes, of course.
Correct.
So some of the winners, the bracket winner was Mike Myers. That's the one that requires some skill. There were a few pools that involved some luck, but Mike Myers did the best by far, actually, in the bracket. So he was the champion. I suspect, I think I would consider him the champion.
And I got to tell you, Commish, we were in Milwaukee, and again, for amusement purposes only, you had the names of the Sweet 16 teams, and you were down to the final couple, and some players would say, well, who's left? And one of them was Texas Tech. And I overheard you saying, hey, that's not a bad team, because it felt like a consolation prize at that point, because you had the Dukes and the North Carolinas of the world. Whoever got Texas Tech had a pretty strong run.
Yeah, Jack Flaherty enjoyed that for the most part. And the very, Adam Wainwright did well, and I did not do well.
But
that's the important thing.
Isn't the origin of commish not just because of your baseball knowledge, but because you always would run sort of the pools?
Well, the bowling league was one of the main reasons, correct?
We had this office football league, too, so there's various ways that it came about, I guess. But now the basketball pool seems to be the way it goes in the spring here. But that's I got to watch, I didn't even watch an entire game, I don't think, of the tournament because they were always playing.
So last night, you're writing a story while that dramatic finish is unfolding?
I didn't know how dramatic it was. I was kind of keeping track of the score, and Virginia was comfortably ahead. And then I heard they won in overtime, and I later learned that Texas Tech was actually ahead in regulation and didn't win. So I saw none of it. I watched part of it again this morning, but that's about it.
Hey, give us a quick take on the Cardinals in this start time, which Martin, myself, the Cat, everybody loves. What do you think, and how long will it last?
Well, they have, I think, 8 games in the springtime and about the same number in August and September when school starts again, Monday to Thursday games, although most of the Thursday games are in the afternoon anyway, but let's say Monday to Wednesday night games for the most part are starting, so ostensibly kids can get who are going to school can get home earlier. The crowd last night, I'm sure we're just disappointing to some, was 35,000. That's April 8th, 35,000. That's a pretty good crowd. Now, it's too bad the Dodgers are here. They're pretty much wasted for the season with this only trip they make here is in April during the week. They're usually a strong weekend team or a strong summertime team where they'd have 130 or 40,000 for a weekend series, and they'll get 140,000 for 4 games in this one at the best probably. But it was a pretty good crowd last night, and I like it for my purposes, too. It gives us a little extra half hour for newspaper deadline purposes.
Yeah, and the TV guys don't mind it. A little earlier, a little better, maybe get a little post-game on TV. I think it'll stick. I mean, I think it was Dan Farrell who said we're just sort of in the experimental stage, but it makes sense for a lot of reasons. I don't think the players or the manager hate it.
No, I think they're okay with that. I wonder how many people that might work downtown will go home and come back. You know, I don't know what the logistics are for travel there. If you have a chance to go home from wherever your job is and then go to the park, or you just have to go from wherever you work to the park.
So as we speak, it's going to be 8 games now in April, and then there's going to be some games in spring, and it's strictly their rationale is it's school related, so kids can go and be home at a relatively earlier time.
Yeah, I think there's some in April and May, and then I think it starts again in late August for August, September run.
Okay. Last night, MVP of the game has to be John Gant, who just came in and put out the fire and was just outstanding.
And he faced some left-handed hitters, too. I think he retired 8 of the 9 left-handed hitters he's faced this year. He's got a variety of pitches, good changeup, good enough fastball, good breaking balls. And when he was discussed in the spring and even at the start of the season, his role seemed to be either starter or middle reliever. And actually, he is neither right now. He's a late reliever, capable of doing the other two. But he's been so good in the seventh and eighth, they're not going to waste him in pitching him in the fourth or fifth.
Commission, you think in hindsight it was too much to ask of Reyes? Or, I mean, did you see anything in the spring that thought maybe he's not quite ready for this role?
I did. His control was off pretty much the whole time. And when he had to go to another inning, it was more difficult for him in the spring. He hasn't pitched for 2 years. I think we all rooted for him to be what he was before, and he's throwing hard enough, maybe not quite like he did before. His arm doesn't hurt. That part's good. It just isn't built up enough, and I see he walked a couple guys yesterday in an inning in Memphis. So he's going to be gone for a while. This is not going to be a short fix. He might be down there half a season.
Give us your prediction for Carlos Martinez in 2019 now.
I mean, where he'll end up or how many games he'll win.
What he'll end up doing in 2019.
Well, I think he'll end up being, oh boy. I think the original plan was for him to be a starter, but his arm hasn't seemed strong enough to do that. And that depends how fast you want him. That's going to decide this. When he's ready to pitch, which could be, well, he's going to throw a bullpen session next week and then sure a couple more. Then there'll be a rehab outings in the minor leagues. We're talking probably May 15th anyway before he would be up here. Depends what their need is. If they need him in the bullpen, they know he can do that because he did it last year and got five saves the last 3 weeks of the season. I suspect they might need him in the rotation, so I'd rather see him there. But if his arm isn't strong enough to do that anymore, then put him in the bullpen and you'll have Reyes and not Reyes. Well, you could have Reyes later. You have Martinez, Miller, and Hicks at the end with Gant alongside.
And we've seen three starts now to Miles Michaelis. I guess last night was arguably the best, but still not the guy we saw last year. What's your level of confidence that he can be that guy? Maybe not as good as he was last year, but at least close to that.
This is the best I've seen him. He had three guys last night, but he just kind of nicked them. He didn't allow any home runs, which was good. The Dodgers led the majors, led the National League anyway, in home runs at 24, and had homered in all 10 games before last night, and he'd allowed four in his first two games, and he didn't give any up last night, which that's the best sign. And he walked only one, and he hit the three, but he was pretty much in control after the first inning. He only got one run off him the last five innings, so I was okay with what I saw last night.
What about Marcelo Zuna? I think everybody was really down on him for a stretch, and still nobody's too high on his defense. But, boy, he had a great offensive moment last night. He had a good weekend. What about his numbers at the end of the year? What do you think they'll look like?
Well, right now he's on pace for 32 home runs. He's home run twice in the first 10 games, multiplied by 16. I don't know what they're going to be at the end of the year. He's swinging the bat better, and he's hitting the ball harder. Like the home run he had last night was the hardest hit ball of the season, according to StatCast. And his defense is, he'll get to the ball. He made one okay throw last night and one that wasn't very good. He may have one or two throws in him. That's not going to be a strong point of his game, is his throwing arm. It's not going to be a miraculous recovery from that surgery. He's going to have a mediocre arm probably most of the season. But mediocre is better than bad, which it was last year. If he can continue to hit balls hard and warrant batting him fourth, I think he'll be all right. He's still got a lot to play for this year because he's a free agent after the season.
I don't think a lot of us watched, you know, too many Marlins games in 2017. You probably saw him a lot that spring playing the Cardinals. But was he a really good outfielder, or is that one of those gold gloves that's because you hit well?
No, he was good. Again, we only see him play, Marlins play seven times a year other than the 7,000 we see him play in the springtime.
Right.
But he was good, and he could track balls, and he threw to the right base, and he had some power behind his arm. But there's a reason why he maybe was only in left field. Maybe his arm isn't as strong as it could be to play some other outfield positions. I think the best thing that could happen to him this year is that the focus is not on him to be the offensive savior, as it were. It's on Goldschmidt. And Ozuna can play a little bit under the radar here because more people are looking at Goldschmidt right now.
Paul DeJong seems more suited to be a five hitter than a three hitter. Now, it may be because of the way this team is. When Fowler's in there, you got to hit him three. But I kind of like DeJong at five and Molina at six.
I do, too. That means Martinez is three under that circumstance.
Yes, that's the biggest reason.
I don't know. Fowler has been hitting six when he plays, and he's looked a little better this year, but he doesn't strike me as that number six run producer that Molina might be. So I'm anxious to see how that goes the rest of the season. Maybe you won't hit Goldschmidt second all year long. I like him hitting second also, but maybe you might have to adjust that. And you could have DeJong fifth, and Martinez is going to hit third when he plays. Now, how often he plays is going to depend a little bit on Fowler. Fowler has not been bad, but he has not been good. So I think the jury is still out there, but he deserves some more time yet.
Yeah, what do you think they had in mind? Do you think, because I think we all know that they're hopeful that Fowler rebounds, has a big year. I think Mozeliak's his biggest supporter. They got a lot of reasons why, but is it get to end of April and kind of look what that number is, and other than that, until then, he's an everyday player?
Well, most days, like in a four-game series, he's going to play three, I suspect, because you need to get Tyler O'Neill some time, too. And maybe that'll come at Ozuna's expense once in a while left field if you want to rest his arm a day. I'm kind of tempted to see Fowler hit a little high on the order sometimes. Maybe on a day that Carpenter would sit out, I might lead off with Fowler and see how that goes, because Carpenter might need a rest once in a while here. I got to think that Jerko is going to have to get a start here one of these days to keep him sharp. He hasn't been in the field at all. You know, he's had two pinch hit at bats, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if he played Wednesday or Thursday, and maybe Carp got a day. But I'd like to see Fowler hit a little higher in the order. I thought he'd be a good six hitter, but I like him better at the top.
So I think there was a little debate at the end of spring training if the Cardinals are going to have a definitive closer. I don't think there's a debate anymore, is there?
No. And I think they had programmed Hicks to be the closer at some point early this season anyway. But Miller hasn't pitched well enough to be the closer, and Hicks has. Now, I'd like to see Miller pitch longer when he pitches. He's only retired three guys his last two outings. He's got the only guy he faced on a deep fly ball on Sunday, and Saturday he had a little trouble. He got two outs, and they also allowed two or three runs. So Hicks is your guy. Now, he's closed two games in a row here, so I would suspect he's out of the mix tonight, and this is going to have to be Miller's game to close if it comes to that.
And do you think the Wainwright start on Sunday gives Schilt, Mozeliak, and others a little pause here? The Pittsburgh start was pretty alarming, and then granted, it sounds like an excuse. He said it on Sunday, but the weather, he believes, was a factor in Pittsburgh. If he can be anything close to what he was Sunday, then we'll stop asking after every start whether he gets two or three more.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. You're right. I mean, his start still was the best one. I mean, Walker's had two good ones, but Wainwright's was maybe the best of the season so far. And he's in the foreseeable future as one of the rotation guys. Any reason to suggest otherwise. And six innings, we get six innings or every time out or close to it. Their bullpen's good enough to take care of the rest.
We have a texter that wants us to ask you if you would rather start the game with an offensive or defensive lineup. And that's basically saying Fowler or Martinez.
I'd rather start with the offense. You get ahead and then you hang on to it. I don't know. Martinez is, you look at their averages, they're about the same right now, really. Martinez hasn't hit all that well either. He had a big hit last night, but he's also under 200. So there isn't too much difference there so far. I'd rather have Martinez at the end of the game to face a pitcher like Hader or like Vasquez from Pittsburgh, or those tough closers that he always seems to get good swings against. And you could spot him right where you want him, because if you play him, if you start him, likely as not, he's not in the lineup at the end of the game when you'd like to have him hitting in the eighth or ninth inning. So I'd like to play Fowler or O'Neill and keep Martinez for later.
And, Kamish, it's, I think, number eight now for Yadier Molina all-time on the hits list. I was looking at the numbers yesterday. couple hundred more maybe by the end of next season, he's easily top five. I mean, he's going to end up, when you look at the Cardinal all-time hits list, Molina's going to be right there.
Well, he's been here, this is his 16th season. He's got 1,800 and some hits. So that means he's getting 120 hits a year anyway, 130 at least. I think well, he's going to play this year and next year, and he wants to play maybe in 2021 also on another one-year, on a one-year deal. Yeah, he's going to be well over 2,000 after next year. Sometime during next year, he'll be over 2,000. And that does sneak up on people, but consider that he's been here since 2004.
And finally, the toughest two questions you will be asked April 9th. If you could choose one catcher for 10 years, you get the best of his 10 years. It's either Ted Simmons or Yadier Molina. Who do you take? That's question one. And question two is, I have given you the opportunity to put one of these guys in the Hall of Fame. You can only put one in, Hall of Famer Rick Hummel. Ooh. Who do you put in? The toughest two questions you'll be asked today.
You mean of those two guys? The second question involves, yes, those two guys also? Well, I'm going to give you answer one is Molina, because even Ted Simmons would tell you that. Molina's the best catcher we've ever seen here. And for 10 years, I think you want that defense over that offense. I'm just going to go that route and make it that simple. So your second question is, I think Ted Simmons is more of a Hall of Fame candidate now than Yadier Molina is. First, Yadier's still playing, but Ted is one of the top hitters in the game, top switch hitters ever. And the Hall of Fame seems to list toward that right now. Plus, he's running out of time. He can't be on this ballot too many more years and still have a chance to get in. This is going to be his absolute best chance this year coming up, I think. And he closed 3 years ago or 2 years ago, whatever that was. Now, on the committee that year were two former Brewers, Sutton and Robin Yount were on the committee, so that didn't hurt his chances. We don't know what the committee of voters will be like this December when they vote again, but I'm going to say Simmons for the Hall and Molina for 10 years as a Cardinal catcher.
Good work. Kamish, honored to have you on. We'll talk next week. We'll see you at the park.
Okay, guys.
The great Rick Hummel joining us. Lakeside Roofing, established in 1972, is our sponsor for Mr. Hummel. They have a solid reputation for excellence in the roofing industry. Their philosophy is focused around a relentless commitment to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship. Lakeside Roofing's reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive pricing. They feature the finest quality roofing materials and provide expert installation. Call the professionals at Lakeside Roofing for your home or business. In Illinois, call 618-344-2800. In Missouri, call 314-241-5253. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com.
Did you notice the commish said he thinks Reyes might be down there for a half a season, if not more?
Time.
That kind of jumped out at me. I was thinking Reyes would be a week or two,
maybe
get it going.
That's a long time.
He said, I think you're looking at a half a season or more. And maybe that gets him totally right, and he comes back and he hops in the rotation or whatever. But didn't you think Reyes would be gone for a little while and you'll see him soon?
Yeah, well, look. I don't want to doubt the commish, but what if Reyes, who did have another rough outing last night, what if Reyes had three good outings in a row over a seven-day period?
No, I agree, and I guess I thought that was sort of the plan, but the commish, obviously plugged in, been doing this a long time, said, I don't think you're going to see him anytime soon, maybe a half a season or so.
How do we go from Carlos Martinez, like in early March, he's going to be gone for 2 weeks, to not pitching until May 15th? Here. Wow.
And the issue.
Well, that's what Peter Gammon said originally, right? And
that kind of caught everybody off guard.
And
oh right?
We had Gershon, and he right. shot yes. it down right away, saying that's not the case. But I think Peter seemingly appears to be accurate.
I mean, is that more shocking than having Reyes on the opening day roster and then realizing that, at least in Hummel's words, they're going to need 6 months of him to kind of reset himself down in the minors?
But the Gammon's issue. Information is interesting to me.
Where do you get it from?
Because maybe the agent said,
yeah,
hey, he's not going to be back anytime soon. And the Cardinals are like, no, he'll be okay. And that could be the disconnect there where they're like, you're not that injured. He's like, no, I actually am. And wasn't it a conditioning thing as much as the Cardinals made it sound like it was more of a strength issue.
They said he didn't follow their plan.
Correct.
So he followed someone else's plan to get ready for the season. Seems to be, yeah, that was a
that was
an issue all offseason.
Maybe they needed to bop,
on down to Carlos's residence.
Needed to bop to the DR a little more often, perhaps.
All right, we will take a short time out. Hollywood Casino Press Box, we'll be right back.